got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? Lucky for you, that's what I like. That's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like.
And we're back to this craziness. Soul Take Champions Live coming to you from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Bill Neal, Kevin Cameron, we're joined by our guest today, Smokin' Jim Frazier, illustrious sports writer for the New Pittsburgh Courier, sports talk show host here in Western Pennsylvania, and Major Mark Whitett, who you'll hear from momentarily, who's writing a book on the 1968 Pittsburgh Pipers World Championship ABA team and the great Connie Hawkins. We'll be right back, to that in a moment, but we're wrapping up this NBA conversation, and Kev, like me, you must have seen the special that was presented on the Greek Freak, and I know you did because you was watching Stormy Daniels on 60 Minutes, and you hung in there and watched the special they did on the Greek Freak. So don't act like you don't do the porn thing, man, because you was hanging right in there with the other 200 million people in America watching the Stormy Daniels special.
Well, Bill, the only thing that I can say, man, you're hilarious. You should be at a comedy club somewhere, but let me get this sports segment in here. Sports story.
Porn is a sport?
For you, of course, Bill.
I'm not a porn guy.
For you, yeah, okay.
I'm not a porn
guy. A sports story that's worth your time. Story in sports that you might have missed, that's worth your time to hear and or see. As Bill said, I hope that you watched 60 Minutes this past Sunday. No, not for Stormy Daniels, not for the Stormy Daniels interview, but Bill, I know you already said it, you were all over it, but everyone should watch it for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I probably butchered his name, but I know most people do, but it was a very good story. Plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, and of course he's known to be the Greek Freak. His parents are from Nigeria, and also, Bill, he has hands like the late, great Connie Hawkins, and I know we're going to talk about the ABA as well. Now, one of the most amazing things about this story as well, he was actually found in Greece, and he knew nothing about the NBA. He didn't even know where Milwaukee was when he was approached. Wow. So at 18 years old, could you imagine something that you've been doing all of your life for 18 years, something that you loved, and you didn't even realize that there was a professional league that you could be a part of?
Well, you know what made that, and I remember hearing that and was kind of surprised as well. What makes that even more shocking is basketball has permeated the European culture for, you know, very, very strongly for the last 20 years, most especially the last 10 years. So the fact that he was in Greece and had so limited knowledge on it makes it even more remarkable.
Not limited knowledge. He had no clue that the NBA was even out there. Mm-hmm. Now he's making $22 million a year, and he's just getting started. I understand Milwaukee is building a new facility, and he's spearheading that effort as far as season of tickets and everything else. But
and he's only 23 years old.
Exactly. So for those of you out there, if you didn't see the story on 60 Minutes, we have the link out there on Twitter. So please go out to our Twitter page. Again, it's Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports. One more time. And, Trev, could you put that out there on the website for everyone, the Twitter page? And, again, it's Soul Take Champions Live at STCL Sports. It's definitely a story that would be worth your time.
Well, not only a story, but the visual, because what brought it to 60 Minutes' attention, well, in part anyway, is that he actually jumped over NBA player who was 6'6". And the lead-in of the story was the commentator for 60 Minutes said, we're going to slow this down for you frame by frame because it happened so quickly that it may have gotten by a lot of people. Mm-hmm. But it actually showed him jumping over a guy and dunking the basketball. But if you see it quickly, it looks like a more than average play. But when you slow it down, it's remarkable. It is Vince Carter in transition, because Vince did it in a slam dunk thing, but this is in transition of a game.
Now imagine this, Bill. Imagine someone telling you when Hakeem Olajuwon was playing that there's going to be a player that is a lot like Hakeem Olajuwon, but he's going to be more athletic. Wouldn't you be amazed?
Sure.
And that's the way I actually look at the Greek Freak. Someone in that mold, Hakeem Olajuwon, but he's more athletic than what Hakeem was. Well, no, he can play all positions on the floor.
Yeah. I mean, he can play point. He can play two guard. He shoots the ball well. He Greek Freak. Freak is the appropriate word because up to now there's been nothing like him in one package. Hakeem comes to mind. Dirk Nowitzki a little bit. That height and shooting, a combination of
I agree, Trav. I saw that nonverbal. I don't see that.
Well, name me the other 7-footer that shoots like that.
That's why I said Hakeem, just more athletic.
Hakeem didn't shoot no jumpers from 20 feet out. You and Trey both got no business shaking your head at me. There's not another 7-footer. I know more about basketball than you and Trey have ever known collectively in your lives.
You knew more.
There's no 7-footer in the game that shoots jumpers like
CTEs,
this boy.
With all your CTEs, you knew more.
See, now you think that's funny.
But as of today.
If I turn up missing, ain't going to be funny then, is it? If I turn up missing, ain't going to be funny then.
But again, and just to conclude this segment, this story here, someone also mentioned his brother because his brother was a part of the story on 60 Minutes as well.
But I wonder why, obviously he wasn't good enough, I guess, but I wonder why there was no discussion about whether he made it. He's playing in the European League.
Or is it Akron?
Akron?
What? I thought I heard Akron. Someone mentioned that he was playing at Akron. No,
because it's
older. He had an older brother, Thanis, who played in the league, who now plays in Greece. But Thanis was in the NBA. And then he has a younger brother, Kostas, who went to Dayton who declared for the NBA.
Mm-hmm. Now, take that, Kev. That's straight from Trev.
Mr. Producer's on it.
There's three siblings.
Well, then if the older brother, if he was in the league, how does the middle brother not know about the NBA?
You ever see the Greek women? You ain't thinking NBA when you're over there, bro.
Everything to you leads back to Stormy Daniels, is it not?
Yes, it is.
And listen, all right, so great story, as Kev alluded to, and he's a freak of nature, super talented from palm to top of his fingertip. It's a foot long, just a remarkable human being, and humble and talented and appreciative. So, and his family's from Nigeria.
Right,
and they migrated to Greece. So you wonder, I mean, they're not Greece by birth, nationality wise. But that being said, talking about from palm to fingertip, a foot long, one of our very own had hands like that, the great Connie Hawkins, and as you heard us talk about a couple times, Connie Hawkins, who recently passed. Was a great friend to me, I dare say, a great big brother, and allowed me to use his name to run the Connie Hawkins League here in Pittsburgh for 40 years. And a guy by the name of Major Mark White, a retired military guy from the Marines, is writing a book called Pittsburgh Forgotten Champions about the great Connie Hawkins and the ABA Pittsburgh Pipers. So, Major, what's the update and what's going on with the book and the event and all that good stuff?
All right, I'll handle the book first. As maybe you don't know it, but May 4th, 1968, Pittsburgh won a professional basketball championship. The Pittsburgh Pipers of the ABA won the first ABA championship that night right here in town at the Civic Arena. Don't let people tell you we haven't won a championship here in Pittsburgh since Maz's home run. We won that one. Yeah, so I'm writing a book. I actually started to write a book about all the championship teams here in Pittsburgh, the Steelers, Pirates, and Penguins, all sort of in one book, a chapter each. But I started doing research into what the Pipers did. the story is so interesting and compelling, I decided to write the book about them and Connie Hawkins. As far as the book goes, I just got a contract for it last week, so that's happening. And in the course of writing this book, I've already pretty much written the story, but that was before I went out and talked to every single living player from that team. There's 13 gentlemen still alive who played on that team. I've interviewed all 13 in person. I wrapped that odyssey up this past week interviewing a gentleman in Orlando. So in the course of interviewing all these guys, I thought, my goodness, these guys have never been recognized by Pittsburgh. We're very good at honoring and recognizing our champions. We revel in them. The Steelers' 6 Super Bowls, the 5 World Series champs, the 5 Stanley Cups of the Penguins. But here we had a remarkable team led by a Hall of Famer, Connie Hawkins, who was Dr. J before Dr. J, and Dr. J would tell you that. Here we had a championship. They won it, and then they left town, and they never been honored or recognized.
Not even a parade mark in 1968. No parade.
There wasn't even one little container of confetti opened.
Wow.
No parade, no nothing. No. There was absolutely, I mean, it's kind of sad. There really was no parade at all. In fact, the team had attendance problems. They had all sorts of things going against them. Their home games were on Tuesdays and Fridays, which is high school basketball night. They only had one Saturday night home game. The Penguins happened to start their history the same year. There was already a hockey fan base because there had been a minor league team here for 20 years. So the Pipers had all sorts of things going against them. The owner, Gabe Rubin, bless his heart, he did his best, but he really wasn't that knowledgeable about basketball. So anyway, the team moved to Minnesota, and really that was a little shady. They moved to Minnesota because the team that had been in Minnesota moved to Miami, and the commissioner was in Minneapolis, and he insisted on a team being there. So the owner of the Pipers got a little extra money to go ahead and sell them, and off they went. And then they came back a year later.
Back with a new name, right?
Well, no, they were one more year as the Pipers, and then they changed their name to the Condors and were the Condors for 2 years. And then they disbanded in 1972 and literally gave up their uniforms to a prison.
Wow. I don't know if anybody was it West that. Penn?
I don't know which one it was.
You don't know which one. West Penn is gone, too.
But anyway, on the weekend of May 4th and 5th, Bill Neal and I are organizing a reunion. Every single one of these 13 guys are coming, and I mean every one of them.
All right.
We got a gentleman from Oregon, Albuquerque, one from Mississippi, 2 from Michigan, 3 from Florida, and 3 from North Carolina, and Cal Graham here still is in Sewickley. So anyway, that's a little wrap up on the book, a little wrap up on the reunion. If you are interested in coming, I'm going to let Bill Neal give the details on that.
Well, you know, it's going to be a grand weekend, and we want to encourage everybody, again, across the country, here in Pittsburgh, Western Pennsylvania, state of Pennsylvania. It's going to be a real big event, recognizing and honoring these legitimate champions. As I tell people, in 1968, Connie Hawkins was the LeBron James of the world. He was the MVP of the ABA. He was the MVP of the tournament, regular season and the tournament. He was a leading scorer, regular season and tournament. and as Mark alluded to, Dr. J recognized him as the Dr. J before there was Dr. J. And Will Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, Jerry West, Bill Russell, all the greats. It loved and admired Connie. Passed away at too young an age in November at the age of 75. So we're going to welcome in all the guys that played with the Hawk Friday, May 4th. Chuck Sanders, a former Pittsburgh Steeler who owns and operates the Savoy Restaurant here in Pittsburgh, is opening the doors for the guys. So they'll all be doing a big reception there. So anybody that remembers the Pipers, anybody that loves basketball, come on down to the Savoy Restaurant. Friday, May 4th, 6 until is the reception. Saturday at noon, there'll be a press conference. We'll be at the Marriott Hotel Center City here in Pittsburgh. 2 o'clock, we'll go to the Thelma Lovett YMCA here in Pittsburgh. And a current ABA team, headed by Marcus Robinson, will put on an exhibition game between the Pittsburgh Bullets of the ABA and an incoming team to salute these guys. And then at halftime of that game, there'll be a special event for kids. So a host of stuff planned for these guys. And then Saturday night at the Marriott Hotel, 6 o'clock is the reception hour, and dinner and awards presentation at 7. That includes all the local greats, B.B. Flannery, Rick Coleman, Darren Morningstar, Myron Brown, just all the local guys that were great players, Connie Hawkins League players, area coaches and teams all coming out to support this great cause. And be mindful, if you want tickets, you got to ring in. You can call Achieving Greatness Incorporated at 412-628-4856. That's 412-628-4856. Up until the week before the event, you can get the ticket covered and sent to you. Tickets in advance are $50. But be mindful, there's $75 at the door. So it's going to be a great weekend, and we owe it all to Major Mark Whitett for initiating this concept, putting it all together. The Phoenix Suns did a ceremony for Connie Hawkins in Phoenix when he passed, and of course they did the same in New York where he's from. This is the first, only, and maybe the last opportunity to remember and salute the great Connie Hawkins. So look forward to seeing everybody at that time, and you can call in and reserve your seats, and look forward to being a part of remembering Pittsburgh Forgotten Team.
And let me just add a couple points on how legitimate the ABA was. First of all, there's 15 members of the Basketball Hall of Fame, at least 15, who played in the ABA. Number two, when the Pipers made their playoff run, in addition to Connie now being in the Hall of Fame, they played the Indiana Pacers in the first round. Roger Brown played for that team. He's in the Hall of Fame. They played the Minnesota Muskies in the second round. Mel Daniels played on that team. He's in the Hall of Fame. And in the finals against the New Orleans Buccaneers, Larry Brown, he played on that team. He's in the Hall of Fame. And Doug Moe, he coached a lot of years in the NBA. And one final point. When they after the merger, the ABA existed for 9 years. The first NBA All-Star game after the merger, 10 of the 24 players were ABA players. Well, anyway.
It's amazing stuff. It's amazing history. There's a book about the ABA called Loose Balls.
Loose Balls by Terry Pluto. It's a great, great, great. There's hardly any books about the ABA. That is definitely one to read if you want to.
So you want
a wacky story.
Really, yeah. That's the book you want to get your hands on if you want to remember the ABA, and certainly you can Google a whole lot of information. And the book about Connie Hawkins is called Foul, and it's spelled F-O-U-L, and it tells the story about Connie Hawkins, the schoolyard legend out of Brooklyn, all the way through the ABA, the Globetrotters, and all the way to the Phoenix Suns, where he was a four-time All-Star, I believe, and took the game to new heights. So, hey, Major Mark Whitett, appreciate you giving us that update, and we look forward to seeing everybody the night of May 4th and 5th. Kevin, let's talk about one of your favorite subjects, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Certainly one of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there may not be a greater Steeler fan in all the city of Pittsburgh. Certainly I consider myself in a ranking now. You might want to be mindful to know Jim Frazier does not necessarily get in that category. He's been known to sell out on you on occasion.
Well,
why is he in this room?
A whole lot. But that's, we like to have diversity, Bill, so this is actually good.
But we invited Smoking Jim Frazier in the day to update us where we're at as a team that didn't get it done last year, what changes the administration is making, the draft situation, and what you need us to know as we get ready for a Stairway to 7.
Yeah, and before you do that, Bill, because you know once you turn the mic over to Jim, how hard it is to get it back. So just provide a little background on Jim so our audience will have that perspective.
No. All right, Trev shook his head again, so that means I got to do it. Look. Smoking Jim Frazier, a.k.a. Jim Frazier, out of Penn Hills initially. We actually grew up on the same street together. I've known Jim Frazier most of his life. He played on my on my street team. We go all the way back to, and he was a great football player from day one. Played out of Gateway High School. At one point, I'm going to go out on a limb and offer. I think he had 4.3, 4.4 speed at one point. It was an outstanding running back. Cal State, yes, was your home base, and since then has gone on to be just an outstanding sports writer, outstanding sports commentator. I think he's on about 42 or 48 different stations, different shows here in Pittsburgh. And but moreover, great guy and very knowledgeable. And I'm glad he's here, Kev, because he can correct all the things that you be saying that can't nobody check. And he can tell you that some of that stuff you be saying is crazy.
Jim does scouting, too.
And he scouts. Yeah. Hey, Jim, because Kevin will not admit to saying on air that Martavius Bryant would be traded this year. Now, you don't want to admit it, but he
said
it.
That's that CTE kicking in again.
Hey, thanks, Mr. Neal. And Kev, congratulations again. You're the only one I know that called Tiger Woods, you know, being able to be successful. And another little
what?
he predicted that Tiger Woods would make a comeback this year.
Oh, you mean the comeback.
Thank you. Thank
you. Yeah, he's the only one that said that.
And by the way, I just got a call last week. I'll be the first black ring announcer in the state of Pennsylvania, Golden Glove State Final history on April 28th. Yeah,
nice.
So I'm excited.
Congratulations.
About that.
Great.
Oh, thanks a lot. I appreciate
great.
That. I don't know if I'll keep my job long because I may call it wrong. I'm the one that will call who wins or loses, so I don't go by the judges. But anyhow, the Pittsburgh Steelers, listen. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I believe, Kevin and Mr. Neal, is going to have the greatest offense in NFL history this year if they bring everybody back and they stay healthy. They can average 38 points a game. I believe in today's NFL.
38?
Why didn't they do it last year?
Well, the main reason why they didn't do it last year is because now they got Big Ben that's comfortable with all of his weapons. He wasn't comfortable for the first half of the season with a lot of guys who was their first year. This year they got guys, they've been practicing a year together, if you've seen at the end of the last season, they're capable of putting up 500 yards passing a game. They'll break every NFL record potentially, especially if Le'Veon Bell's back. So in today's NFL, the game is always is an evolution. The game now is who can outscore whom and who can get the most turnovers in the game. New England didn't lose the Super Bowl because of their offense. They lost the Super Bowl because of that last sack strip turnover. If it wasn't for that, they'd be Super Bowl champions.
That's their offense.
So the Pittsburgh, yeah, it's the turnovers and high-scoring offense. Forget about defense anymore. You want to get turnovers on defense. You want to get some sacks, but you're not going to be able to stop anybody in today's NFL. So you got to be very, very lucky. The Pittsburgh Steelers didn't help themselves on defense. They got a bum that used to play at Florida that's Pouncey's best friend, John Bostic. He won't be able to help them at middle linebacker.
No, you're talking about free agency now.
Free agency. They got an outstanding safety from Green Bay. How I know he was outstanding because he wore the same number Darren Sharper wore when he played at Green Bay, number 42. He is outstanding, Morgan Burnett, but he's a strong safety, not a free safety. Pittsburgh Steelers needs a free safety to keep bringing in strong safeties. They got a whole team full of free strong safeties. They need a free safety. In the draft, they have to address the free safety. I would probably, in the fourth or fifth round, get the next Mike Wagner. Scott Apke from Penn State, 6'2", 210 pounds, runs a 4.3, 40-inch vertical jump. First round, I would go after a middle linebacker from Boise State, Vaughn Esch. Not Butterbean Esch's brother, but in the same thing. Got the big neck, 256 pounds, runs a 4.6, 40, 39-inch vertical jump. Very, very strong. Third round, I would go after my number one rated running back. Nobody's heard of him from San Diego State. A guy named Rashad Penny ran for 2,000 yards at San Diego State. He can return punts for you. He can return kickoffs for you. He can also catch the ball out of the backfield. He can pass block. So now you got two young guys and James Conner and Rashad Penny from San Diego State. That would be outstanding for you there. And I would even go in the third round or the fourth round and get the one arm, one hand kid from Central Florida, Shaq Griffin. He's a 4-3 guy, linebacker. He can play some situation for you. He played for Central Florida, the uncrowned national championship team. He can do some good for you at outside linebacker, led the team in sacks, led the team for tackle for losses, and is a phenom. I also like an all-around player from Pitt, Jordan Whitehead from Central Valley. Here's a guy, you got to get Antonio Brown off of punt returns. Jordan Whitehead can return punts for you. He can play strong safety, free safety. He can play corner. He can give you some minutes on as a third down back out of the backfield on a very fast track. At 205 pounds, he can run a 4.440 on a very fast track. So that's the direction I would go.
Okay, and just to add to that, regarding your assessment on the
– he's a bump.
Safety. Oh, no, you actually like Burnett.
Yeah, he's a strong safety.
You indicated.
I don't like that.
But, but you're saying strong safety when Burnett was questioned regarding if he played strong safety or free safety. His response was neither. He said in Green Bay, the type of defense that they play in Green Bay is not designated free safety or strong safety. And he said he could play both. Now, what the Steelers are saying, based on what I'm reading, the Steelers are saying, based on where we'll position Burnett, we'll put Davis elsewhere. So they're trying to decide, do we put Davis in as a strong safety or free safety? So it really seems as though there's a lot of flexibility.
They don't know what they're doing.
Remember,
don't forget, they drafted Davis out of Maryland to cover tight ends as strong safety. Davis is a great cover strong safety. Now you're bringing in a guy that says, just like Mike Mitchell, says he's a free safety, but interceptions tell the story. Tony Dungy used to always say, a great free safety, if he catches every interception he should catch, he'll lead the league in interceptions. Burnett barely got 10 career interceptions. That ain't no free safety.
Well, again, I'm arguing a point that
I'm looking for turnovers.
I'm arguing the point that he is a free safety. He's saying he could play either one, free safety or strong safety, because it wasn't the scheme in Green Bay didn't designate free or strong.
Yeah, Casey Hampton could play free
safety.
Okay,
but what's important
here? I
don't
need somebody to get some interceptions.
What's
Where's
important?
The Tommy Flynn when you need him? 10 interceptions.
Think of the Steelers' defense now. You have Ryan Shazier, who went down, missed 40% of the season, I'll say.
He missed a lot of tackles.
And Mitchell was injured a whole lot. Yeah. And those two guys on defense, they were the quarterbacks of the defense. Ryan Shazier called the defense, and you have Mitchell responsible for the defense and the secondary. Okay. Now, the guy that they just brought in, Burnett, is that type of guy. He was calling the defense for Green Bay. So he could come in and actually fill that void. And he's supposed to be better than
Was he calling Oskies? That's what they say when they get ready to intercept Oskie. Was he calling Bingo? That's what I want. We want a guy that's going to get some interceptions.
I believe the Steelers, I don't have the stats right in front of me, but I believe they did pretty well from a turnover standpoint last year.
Who?
I know they led the league. Yes.
They couldn't stop the run or the pass. They did good in sacking the quarterback.
Well, stopping the run or pass, I'm talking about turnovers. Of course, we know they couldn't stop
the
run.
They didn't get hardly no turnover. They got sacks. That's it.
Well, I know they led the league.
They was bottom feeders for stopping the run, bottom feeders stopping the pass, and bottom feeders on turnovers.
No, I disagree with you on that. For the pass, they did fairly well. If you go back, we'll take a look at that during break.
Only one team passed for 500 yards against them. You're right.
They gave up a lot of long.
They did, but overall, rank-wise, they did in the middle.
What
probably.
Did your eye test say?
Well, they needed a lot of help. Needed a lot of help, and I'm saying statistically, they were in the middle of the pack.
Things at the same time. Hold both of those thoughts. We'll come right back
Bortles
in a moment.
Scored 42 points on them.
We
We got some more Steeler talk with Smoke and Jim. We got some Pirate talk coming at you from the Major. And then we're going to close this thing out with some educational stuff on our young folks. So we'll be right back in a moment.
It's tax season. Time to call RSG Accounting Services for your tax service needs. Call 412-742-4345. That's 412-742-4345. RSG Accounting Services provides accounting and tax service needs for business or personal. RSG Accounting Services wants to work for you and all your tax needs. Call us or email Mary Jo at RiversideSalesGroup.com. If you mention you heard this at Urban Media Today Radio, you'll receive a 10% discount. Riverside Sales Group LLC is proud to be an organization with minority ownership. RSG Accounting Services for all your tax needs. Call today, 412-742-4345.